It's a podcast. And now,
welcome back to More Garbage.
Yo, yo, yo. Friday Night Compost, More Garbage Podcast with the crew, Fubzilla, Steve B, and myself, Vandal. What up, y'all? What's the buzz on the streets, y'all? First and foremost, I think that without delay, we should recognize an RIP gift to Gab from Blackalicious, who died from natural causes at age 50.
Sad.
So that sucks.
That's a rough one.
I know that Blackalicious was definitely a favorite of a lot of the 90s and 2000 crowd.
Hell yeah.
And you know, a creative group, to say the least. You know, not a bunch of that same old bullshit.
But Chief XL is no joke, too.
That's not some real lyricism going on, and that's something that the hip hop community will definitely miss.
They were kind of the backbone of Quantum, too. You know, like in terms, not really. I mean, they were all, but like you think about the sound, right? A voice, and Gift of Gab is the guy you think about. That's just like him and Latif. Like those are the like lyrics. More like you think about these dudes' voices. Especially Gift the Gab. Like his voice is just everything. And not to mention how many times we sampled his lyrics. Remember he was sampled in Outkast? You know, it's like I got the Gift the Gab, that whole thing. Like, you know, just you know, that iconic of a voice. It's crazy to lose that, you know, at 50. You know, it's real wild. And yeah. It's just shocking.
Fucking natural causes. Yeah. Natural causes.
So it's a myriad of things, right?
So just remember,
to care, you
know, health is wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it reminds me of, you know, George from Cryptos R Us.
Oh my god!
It's a channel that I love to watch.
Help me
regularly, religiously. I'm like practically part of a cult, and he wasn't feeling well. He was streaming the other night and he said, I really shouldn't be on right now. I like don't feel right, but I'm gonna do a quick one and whatever. And the next morning he's like, yo, I went to the emergency room last night and they said you're just like exhausted. He streams two times daily, right? Then he's also got like a car review show.
And oh, I didn't know that.
And he's got two kids. Yeah, he's got another channel called Drivers Only where he reviews vehicles.
Wow.
That's a hustle.
And he's got two kids, and he's planning some, like, GeorgeCon massive crypto conference in Vegas. And he was just like, yo, you know what? Like, I love this shit. You know, I do make, like, a healthy living doing my streams and shit. He's got, like 380,000 subscribers now on Cryptos R Us. That shit was 140 in January. It's like blown apart. But he said, you know, after all this time off, not being outside, he's like, you know, I really let my health go and just focusing on like pumping out content. And he's like, you can't take the crypto to the grave. Okay. Like you need to take care of yourself. Straight up.
Yo, it's real. Like this last, you know, 18 months is plus whatever. It's been crazy, you know. Change your shit up, but work out healthy. The shit is king. Like taking care of yourself. There it is. BuzzFeed. So we'll segue into what the fuck is going on. So BuzzFeed is valued at $1.5 billion in a super PAC deal to go public. And it's going to acquire Complex Networks for a supposedly now it's saying $500 million. And so BuzzFeed was started by Jonah Peretti, and he also is one of the founders of. He also helped start Huffington Post.
I think it was $300 million. $300 million.
No, I just saw a new.
Woo! What? How could it go?
Oh no, you're right. You're correct. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I'm right or wrong. $300 million.
Just want to get our numbers right. Although we are an entertainment website, we are not journalists, nor are we giving financial advice.
But what I find interesting, so here's what's interesting. So Complex is already owned currently, and a lot of people don't even know this, for almost 10 years now. They're owned by Verizon, and they're Verizon Media. No, they're owned by Verizon, and they're owned by Hearst Publishing. Those are the two main owners that bought Complex from Complex years ago. And so you're talking about the biggest telecommunication company and the biggest publishing house that own everybody's information at this point, every youth information. And BuzzFeed, one of their partial owners is Verizon Media. They're one of the minority shareholders of the whole company. So I'm like, wait, are you buying from yourself partially? Like, you will still retain some control, some shares of a company. So that's the funny thing to me when I read deep into it. But you know, you talk about BuzzFeed was started as a quiz to question the reality of what was actually on the internet. It was to question the information, oddly enough, and now it's just mindless shit. But it started to kind of check the internet and like form questions and quizzes to see what was real and what wasn't. That was what it started as. And it kind of remains somewhat the same, but they've become like a real news site, which is also very weird for what it started as.
They're and one so of those sites where you got to do a whole lot of clicking to get through one article.
They're clickbait. But then, so now they're going to go in to buy. And Jonah Peretti is also one of the founders and partial. I think I don't know if he owns it, but Huffington Post, he helped start Huffington Post and BuzzFeed. And so they're going to go and buy Complex and, you know, and go public. So they're going to go public. They're going to be valued at almost over $1 billion. For $300 million, they're going to buy Complex. And Complex is the control of all youth culture. Like, there's no more, like, there's no indie people fucking making youth culture happen. I hate to break it to anybody, but the kids don't want to be indie. I'm sure there are some that do want to be indie, but for the most part, the goal is to make the bread right now. Like, that's everybody's goal that's a kid. When we were 11, teen, we weren't like, you're going to make all the money. You know, not like this. We didn't even know what the kind of money we're talking about is, right? And so these kids are growing up like wanting to be YouTube stars and millionaires and billionaires and understand these concepts. But the whole fucking youth culture is owned. Well, now it's owned by Verizon. And then it'll be owned by BuzzFeed. Like, who's controlling that? Like, you know, I'm always wondering regarding this, especially if they go public. That shit's crazy. They're going to be shareholders. People will own the youth's mind. It's really what it breaks down to. But, like, there's no more getting around that. It's kind of done. Like, but it's right here. It's public. It's not even, like, for debate if it's real. People don't even know that Complex is owned by Verizon right now. Like, think about that. And it was news when it happened. You know, so we're in an interesting spot where we're going to see a big BuzzFeed's going to become a enormous, like a Viacom. Watch. They'll become Viacom. That's what's going to happen.
And go on. I was just saying, in case you forgot what Complex is about, stuff.
My apologies.
They're publishing. I'm just going to scroll through while we talk about them.
Right. Isn't it just kind of like if Jay-Z buys a table at 4040 and just buys Ace of Spades for the entire club? You know what I mean? You're just buying for yourself, from yourself, to pay yourself.
Well, he does that
for hype. Other people on.
He does that for hype.
Do you see? Do you see, like, the headlines that are up here? It's really like going beyond where a music culture website. They're trying to be the news.
Well, yes, they are definitely, because they've segmented because of how big they are and how big the people that own them are. They've totally segmented Complex, Kicks, this, that, and the third. But they're doing the Vice thing, right? Like, come on. Like, Vice was like, you know, we're a bunch of fucking drug addicts from from Canada making a crazy ass publication. We'll do some crazy ass content, this, that, and third, yada, yada, yada. And then somebody was like, you know, we can really turn this into a thing.
It's really ridiculous. I'm looking at how they try to like sneak some of these like Inquirer style headlines in.
Yo, but so this is literally what most youth are paying attention to get their information.
But you know, that must be what's attractive to BuzzFeed, because BuzzFeed wants exactly that kind of clickbait. You're right.
Complex has become, okay, so Complex has literally become that for the youth. They've become this just a barrage of information and photos and, you know, things happening and release dates and clicks to shops to buy it and advertisements. That's all they are. Like, you know, they're almost like just the back of magazines, right? Like, we literally live in a time where there's no more feature wells. There's no deep dives. It's just like, it's the back of the magazine where we used to like buy random dumb shit, Upstairs Records, this, that. And it's the fucking front of the magazine, the little tidbit shit pieces and the sneaker pieces and the filler to get money. You know, the deep dive, they're done.
Can I present an argument for that? Like, some of their video contents are pretty, you know, decent. That's on both sides. Like, BuzzFeed has a great show called Worth It. It has a couple other eatery shows, a couple of unsolved mystery type shows. That's and the biggest thing that Complex has going for it is the Hot Wings thing, that big Hot Wings challenge.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Hot Wings is great.
And then they have Complex Con, you know, which is kind of diving into sort of like an art market. And,
well, Complex Con was started by Complex Con was originally started by the Agenda team with Complex. So basically, like, okay, so this is interesting. So, Agenda had its trade show, which was all action sports. And at some point, the independent company that was sold to a trade show company, a big trade show, does Comic-Con and other things. And they bought it to get in the action sports market and that like street culture market. But it's a B2B show. So and B2B kind of, frankly, almost died out more or less for clothing and culture. The B2B game is real weird. As internet's taken over and DTC is everything, direct to consumer is big. Not the point. So more or less when Agenda got sold to Reed, they were big enough to have a team, they could do things, and they also bought a couple other smaller trade shows, Capsule, whatever. And so then people got their heads together with Complex because it was just like in the mix of it, everything was money then. And it's like, you know what that's missing? Because everybody wants to buy shit direct when they come to Agenda. And all these trade shows is a con for culture. There hadn't been this Comic Con for like limited edition shit, which is like no brainer shit. So they started it. And they changed the game of it because Hypebeast tried to do one, totally failure. But Hypebeast showed a side of something that was like more, what they did was a little bit more like an exhibit, less a sales thing, and you would buy things there and they would ship to you later. Because what happened at Complex Con, the first couple ones, is that there was a lot of people getting fucking their shit yoked up outside. Fools were just waiting for, oh, you got limited edition shit? That's my shit. And so they had to stop that and they had to find a way around it, which was like, oh, we're going to ship this shit to you. You're going to buy it and you might not get it, you know, that kind of thing. But the point of the song is that they started it because it needed to be. A physical representation of the internet is really what Complex Con is. Of like, did you get the sneakers? I didn't get the sneakers. It's a physical representation of that. It's Comic Con on a fucking steroid level, because it's not just like insiders that like the shit and really give a shit. It's like, you know, it's fly by night culture. It's quick, you know. It's whoever's got the money can do dope shit this year, and then they did it virtually. And I know the guy that works at Complex still that does that, and. The virtual thing is so weird. I went to it twice now, just signed up to it, and it's like you're walking around, you're going to, it's like, it's somewhere between like Lawnmower Man and like e-com. It's the best way to put it, you know? Okay. And So, yeah, that's a big part of it because that's the physical side of it. But you and I both know that that's just for a company like Verizon and BuzzFeed and these big companies, that's a marketing write-off. They don't make any fucking money on that. Even if they do, the real game is that all those people advertise. And then they say, that's part of your deal. You'll pay for all the shit going there and it's hype, like, because that's what people talk about. But yeah. It's just part of the advertising. It's part of the marketing deal that they're making with any company.
Well, it seems to me like they're going to crack like a more upscale urban market, which is kind of where Complex like falls into, right?
Well, the facts are is that what you just said is old people talk. There's no such thing as an upscale urban market. The whole fucking thing is that, like, everything's high fashion. Yo, on the runway right now, they're wearing vintage old t-shirts. On high-end runways, like with couture shit, they've got like a New York Times t-shirt on. You're like, what? So like the world, Supreme getting bought originally by Louis Vuitton broke the game, dude. Like all that, like Virgil doing his shit with Nike and Louis Vuitton now, it's broken. The whole thing's, you saw that thing that he put out with Goldie in it and Saul Williams and the GZA. The new Louis Vuitton runway show or whatever it's called, it's Virgil doing Virgil, and it's very interesting. You know, I still don't know what I think about it, but it hit me in a spot because it's all the people we love, right? So it was Saul Williams, it was GZA, it was Goldie. It was like, you know, you're hitting me right where, like, all the people doing what they do. And I was like, I let go of all that other shit. It was dope. It was visually dope. It was a little weird, but it was like, it was flowers. It was giving flowers is really what it was.
Right.
And so we're in this weird spot where there is no more, like, the urban market is kind of done. Like, because that's really just class right now. It's really people that have enough money to buy in to the high-end shit, which everybody wants across the board. People save, people don't. And then it's people that don't and just can buy what they can buy, like anybody, like, you know, like it ever was. But the split of how people dress is very, like, especially in the youth, it's blurry right now. It's like, it's all real weird to me.
Well, now it's commerce. Like, people aren't just buying to floss anymore. People are fucking buying to, like, trade up. You know,
yes.
Buy, hold, and then flip the shit for hire. That's crazy.
But people are also, like, the kids that are coming up after it, like, the style's totally, like, 90s. 90s, 2000 right now is big. Like, literally, the whole kit is baggy denim, like, clunky fucking Air Force Ones, Letterman jackets. Like, there's your kit. Like, fuck around, Avrex will make a comeback. Anybody that's got a bulletproof Avrex is good. You know, like,
cross colors.
What size? 5XL. Oh, you ever, like, I never
triple forget X, those Avrex. White tees.
Yeah. Oh, the tall tees, man. When I lived in Baltimore, tall tees were everything. It was the weirdest shit. You're like, man, you're a killer, but you got a dress tee on right now. And, like, I know what you got under there, and I can't even take you seriously. Like, this is weird. I'm just going to leave. Like, it was such a weird moment in time. Like, and then somebody made them. Like, that's just not normal. Some motherfuckers, like, they want to make these? I'm going to make them. I'm going to make tall tees. They don't have to buy nightgowns. I got them. Like, but I think that the urban market got pushed out. Like, hipster's gone, and it's now hypebeast. Well, you know,
backtrack.
Like,
you just said that there's no more urban market. Like, that's a thing of the past.
Well, as we knew it, you know, and there's always going to be an urban market based on demographics, right? Mm-hmm. Based on sheer geographic demographics. Mm-hmm. But I really think the internet's kind of blurred shit. The fact that, like, the biggest people own what we're talking about, like, the biggest cultural eyes, well, they touch everybody. Like, it's not like they have no reach. It's not like you're independent. Like, how many people do we get to? Bitch, we're Verizon. We own everybody. Like, we own the lines. Yeah. Fuck did we get to everybody? Of course we did.
Right.
Like, yeah. So it becomes this thing where, like, you tell me, like, the market's so segmented that people, let's say this, let's say you're starting a something company in any an airline, and you want to get to, like, peanut butter airlines, right? And you just want peanut butter airlines. So you just want to get to, like, let's say you're like, I only want to, like, focus on people that have been to raves and are over 35, that have no kids, and you know, and happen to, like, have a panache for Mexican culture. Like, you can literally fucking advertise to those people. Like, metrics are so damn good right now that markets are so segmented. So it's hard to, like, think about urban these days. Like, the kid that, let's say, lives in Brownsville, that's supposedly the urban market, let's just keep it 100. He's right here. He's not in Brownsville anymore. Like, he could be in Brownsville, and he's definitely influenced by Brownsville, don't get me wrong. But he's here. He's influenced by, like, BuzzFeed, by Complex, by like, so much shit. Like, I like the generation. They're wide open. Right. They're not like, oh, we're just right here. I don't know what's happening over there. We're right here. Like, no, they're like, oh,
what would you think would be the con? What's the downside
of what? Oh, they have no regional nothing. They don't know. They're all over. They don't know how to communicate. They're too vast. Sometimes if you know too much, or like you have too much access, you don't build your own, right? Too much access is can be bad. It leads you to do nothing, or to, like, make something not original, or make something repetitive, or, you know, that's the real rub, right? Is that we kind of are seeing it where trends are fast, really fast, and they're clunky. They're not. That's the best way. They're clunky. Trends are clunky right now. Mm-hmm. Like, things that are coming out, you're like, oh, that's very. Like, you like, and it's definitely like some old man to, like, generational shit. You do what you want, you're the youth, but, like, it just looks like they feel more comfortable online, is really what it comes down to. And so I think their physical form, their human form, their in real life form as a generation is very weird. And it's an amalgamation, because they don't, their culture is all online. They're real, like, the way they interact is all online. So it's how they represent themselves. It's totally different than us. And I think with it, you're getting, like, I don't know what's original, but I think that it's blurry as to where things are coming from.
Well, they're definitely getting homogenized.
100%. You know what I mean?
Because Complex, at some point, it was a place to go for a specific kind of thing.
Yep.
Even if you did feel you might not be the exact market.
Of course.
Whereas now you're like, fucking I'm gonna hear this Inquirer shit. It's top 10 lists and fucking you know what I like? I like Rate the Bars on BET YouTube channel.
Oh yeah.
Rate the Bars is fun. And you know, I kind of like reaction videos. Those are pretty fun as far as, like, hip hop culture.
Right.
Because in many cases, you're just looking for, like, an honest reaction. You know, you just want to be there for that spontaneous.
Like those honesty. Kids, the twins, or like the twins, the brothers that do that, like, listen to new music. Well,
there's so many. It's like a whole genre.
But these kids are famous. They're like the ones, like, what do they listen to? They listen to something.
They listen to, like, old school shit.
Like Bob Dylan and Dolly Parton. Yeah.
So I told Fubs the other day about dude is listening to Fourth Chamber. You know, GZA, Ghostface, Killer Priest, and RZA. And RZA's talking about the Ebola virus. Marine King Cyrus. And he was like, he paused it and he was like, yo, yo, how they know about the Ebola virus back then, yo? Know? I was like, oops. Oopsie. But, you know, that's what I'm there for. It's like that honest, you know, reaction.
That's great. Unfiltered.
Yeah, just like when you like a slightly like ignorant rhyme. Oh, you know, it just feels good for some reason, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, like, ignorance is, like, really...
It's bliss.
It's a tenet in hip-hop. Like, it's... you know, with...
Well, like, it's...
Come on.
It's conscious ignorance. You know, it's like, you make the decision. Like, I'm going in right now.
You know, it's like when you lean into, like, terrible shit, where you're like...
I know, so
you're
what?
Like, What do you want to listen to? Just put on Master P. We'll be all right. You know, like,
right.
You know, like old Master P. Like, let's go.
Yeah, ignorance doesn't mean like stupid. It just means
not at all. But it's
you're
like a certain,
casting a blind eye to, you know, some shit. Whether
well, you're just like you're listening, like, you know that, like, yo, this music is amazing, but like this is gonna influence people poorly. You know what I mean? Like,
but I'm fully aware.
Someone's gonna catch a charge, like, for sure. This is like catch a charge music, you know. But like me, I'm good. I'm not gonna catch a charge. I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna enjoy the ignorant, the blissful ignorance of that. I'm gonna fucking bang it and not gonna go catch a charge. But somebody might, you know, somebody.
The album was like, hey, nothing happened. What about that?
Like, and that's the. There's a power to that, right? Like, that's powerful shit.
You know, people say that, you know, it's a bad influence, but actually it relieves a lot of those impulses because,
yes, 100%.
You know, it, in a creative way, you're kind of like experiencing it like you're watching a movie. You
like
know?
A catharsis almost. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I don't watch movies about serial killers and then think like, ah, you know what? I want to try some of this shit. No, it's.
But you know, I can't do that because of this.
It's akin to Satanism.
It's crazy that
metal. You know what I mean? Like, you know, not all these guys are fucking doing animal sacrifices or ceiling sacrifices or anything else that conforms to the edicts of Satanism. But
exactly. We're all like,
damn, does it make like a controversial song that you kind of want to be like, oh shit, they did that.
I mean, this is just
it's all long hanging fruit at the end of the day, don't you think?
You're everything, like, wait, there was water involved in the murder. That is the rare case where it might have been a woman.
You know what's interesting?
Criminal
like,
minds.
What?
When you read if you read Prodigy's autobiography, right? Which is fucking amazing, okay?
Is it?
And it's phenomenal. And he outs, like, you got to read it because he talks so much truth, or at least his truth, you know? And it's like, he just
people
outs everybody.
People were definitely mad about it.
Because he was, like, literally, like, pussy. Let me tell you why. Like, more or less, is like, these are the stories of people. This is his story, you know? And, like, those fools were, like, those fools thumped. Like, those fools weren't like, dude, we're talking about it. Nah, like, they were wilding. And so, like, you know, every time I ever saw Prodigy, if I shot him, if he was at Al's crib, he always came out. Always. Like, and real chill. But he tells the story of everybody. And he tells, like, the Jay-Z story. And he tells, like the Nori story. And you're like, yo, these are wild. Like, it's a crazy book for that. And it's like, it's part of the whole, it's entertainment. Not all of it, though. Because you're reading his story, and he's telling you. And of course, like, it's his story, and he's telling it. So maybe there's other parts to that. Who knows, right? But, like, and it's very real. And then he's telling other parts of other stories, and, like, he tells about Tupac shit. And, like, all this shit just, like, runs mad shit out. That's so much shit that, like, you're just like, what the fuck is this? Why is nobody talking about this? Like, for real, all the time. Yeah. But it shows that entertainment is everything. Like, it's everything. It's the money. you know, we are just, we like to watch people. We like to enjoy the ignorance and not be a part of it. Like, you know, be close to it. Don't touch the fire too much, you know? You know, like, it's like people say, you know, back in the day, I had friends like, you listen to a lot of hip hop and they don't like white people. I'm like, well, I don't really like white people, but, and I'm like, that he said, why? He was a Puerto Rican German dude. And like, and I said, you know, it's just perspective is really what it is. It's like anything. Like I'm down to talk to anybody. Like if it's just words and the hate's cool with words, like let's talk. Like, and so for me, it's like, it's just perspective. It's just the story that's perspective. And if some of it's real, cool. Some of it, but it's all representational of something that I don't know anything about at that moment in time. And so it becomes like reading, like, you know, if you read like any poetry or important like literature from back in the day, doesn't mean this shit is God's word. It just, this is what somebody wrote. It's an interesting perspective. It's important.
Perspective of one person. Yeah.
But it's important in the like the range of thought and everything. Like, you know, you put some like all the wildest people, like you think about like Camus and shit, like dude was wild, like, or Kafka, like what the fuck is wrong with this dude? Like, you know, and but what a concept that still is, all of those things are thought about to this day. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there is an entertainment portion of it. Who knows how much of it is real, but it's a story told, you know. And I think that, yes, I think that over time, some, especially rappers, have gotten, some of their shit's gotten tired because they don't really have much to talk about, right? They just have to make music now. But I think some of that original shit is phenomenal because it's a representational story that needed to be told. Like, nobody can deny, like, that Reasonable Doubt is just phenomenal to listen to and be like, wow, like, you know, whether or not you like Jay-Z, like, you know, any of those, like, that era.
And we did cover the NFT story already about how Dame Dash tried to NFT Reasonable Doubt and sell it.
So good.
And Jay,
what happened?
Jay was able to stop it. Yeah, at least temporarily in court. He won whatever that motion was or whatever that action was. No,
let me tell you something. Jay-Z owns the courts, okay?
But I want to talk about this for a second, because
I told you this was going to happen.
Yeah, see, sorry. We've been talking about this for a long time.
I was waiting for this. When did this happen? Today? Oh, no, it's April. Okay.
This is published in April, but I just found it today.
April.
I told you they were starting to sue people.
DC and Marvel cracking down the ability of comic book artists to sell non-fungible tokens of characters owned by those two companies. But this article goes on to interview actual artists that worked on covers.
Oh, interesting.
Bless you. Mike Bussi Diodato had been selling NFTs of his comic book work as well, like the cover to Amazing Spider-Man Family number 2. Okay.
Of course,
and listen to this. He wrote an open letter after the company started blocking the sales. The big comic book companies are sending letters to artists asking them not to sell their digital original art because they are copyrighted. They're asking nicely, you would say, so what's the problem? Well, they are also sending DMCAs, which is part of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, to the platforms to stop them from selling the art. If you are a traditional comic book artist, you can sell your original art on paper. If you're a digital comic book artist, you are not allowed to sell your digital original art. In both cases, there's no copyright involved in both cases. So why are the digital comic book artists basically being discriminated against? Interesting.
You see, because for me, in essence, I look at that,
NFTs
though,
are supposed to refer to digital assets.
But one second. Go. Can you scroll back down to the Spider-Man cover real quick? Like that Spider-Man cover, like if you're selling that Spider-Man cover, like I totally understand, like if that's really that representation of what he's selling and not just the art, and it's got the Marvel on it and all this shit, of course they're going to come after you, right?
No, it's the, it does, I don't know if it has all of this. I'm not sure.
I'm just saying, if that's what they're showing, I wonder what it is he's actually selling. Because if it's like,
and I understand an NFT, you know, it's a smart contract. It's not just about collectibles. Right. And it can be used for a wide variety of things.
All kinds of shit.
Right? It's Marvel's got a dead so that you can prove authenticity. Right? It's so everything is easily trackable and authenticated. There's no like phony reproduction. You know you're looking.
Well, what'll happen is this, is that let's say in the future, you know, it gets convoluted who owns it because of that, let's say.
And well, then no, Marvel, but we've been saying that. Okay, first of all, copyright law has always been way right. slow it to trumps catch everything. Up with anything.
No,
it's been slow as hell forever. And it changes every fucking time Mickey Mouse is about to become public domain. Straight up and down.
Domain.
Okay? Because you're supposed to have years. Copyright 70 years after your death.
70 years, thank you. Okay.
Okay?
When did Disney die?
It's been a long fucking time.
Okay. That motherfucker's dead.
Let's see. Let's bring it up here. Walt Disney date of death, right?
Well, you get the Department of Defense.
We just give him a good old Walt Disney died.
66. He's not all right, 7 years. So that's years not.
But almost. He didn't create Mickey at his.
I get it. But you said death.
This has been going on and on. I'm saying the laws have changed over time to protect Mickey.
You know why? That Mickey Mouse, Coca-Cola, and the Nike swoosh are fucking American capitalism. And it's like outright. Like Mickey Mouse and fucking Coca-Cola are more all over the globe than our flag.
Look at this. I looked up Mickey Mouse, and the second thing that came up is Mickey Mouse trademark.
Trademark.
Will be.
And after that, it's Protection Act.
Soon. Look at that. That
was. Yo, if he ever goes public domain, the t-shirt companies are gonna fucking put rubber dicks on him. I'm telling you, it's gonna go bananas. It's gonna go crazy. An unlicensed Mickey.
Oh. Right.
Yeah.
They'll be suing defamation of character. It's like, motherfucker, he's not alive.
So this goes beyond just Marvel and DC, right? Because we're talking about entire comic book conventions, right? Where artists just sell illustrations of their favorite characters, their own interpretations, you know, interpolations.
And it's common. It's kind of like you go to a Comic-Con, you go to Artist Alley,
It's like a mixtape.
It's not even that. It's just it's almost like this. You know what it is? It's literally like the industry turns the other way because they're like, let them make some money. You know what I mean? But like, it also whatever
promotes the industry.
Well, it's everything, right? It's good for everybody, but really, it's like they also know that this is part of their livelihood, and this is a great way that because what happens is that if you go to a Comic-Con and you go to an artist alley and there's, let's say, 200, 300 artists, all kinds, from everywhere from Chris Claremont to nobody, you know, like got my own first comic. And there's people online for the big guys and they only sign for like an hour, two, three max, you know, and that's it. And when it's done, it's done. And so it comes down to this thing where like people, it's not that many people. An NFT is a whole different, bigger eyes, a lot more people, a lot of bigger money. The guys that are like on some investing shit don't go to comic conventions. Like they just don't care. One of them pay for something to try to flip it and make a lot of money long term, which is a collectible kind of thing we're talking about. They don't go to comic conventions. Like that's just for real fans, man. And so that's, I think, the line probably, and probably not. It's probably much more fucking evil, but you know. That to me is a very like understandable line where it changes the game of what it is and what it represents. While the person that buys from Mike, whatever his name was, you know, at New York Comic Con, at this Comic Con, at that Comic Con, he probably sees a few hundred people. Maybe he sees 1,000 people. Like, that's a lot of people, right? To see in like one, but online, come on. How many people, if you're looking for NFTs and you see Spider-Man, there's more than 1,000 people looking for that. There just is.
And so, that, the other big news is that Vivi app, right? Ecomi, Oh My.
Oh, licensing money too.
They made a partnership with Marvel now. And they're going to be coming out with some Marvel licensed shit. They also did a whole thing with Givenchy.
Oh.
You know, I'm definitely not pronouncing that.
Givenchy, you're pretty good.
Vivi. Givenchy. Where's it at? Where's it at?
You mean Polo? What?
Givenchy?
Yeah, these things down here. Givenchy. I don't want to accept all cookies.
You had to find your guttural. Yeah.
TV.
So
Stan Lee's Endgame was fucking spectacular, huh? You always live to be 100, you go bankrupt maybe twice, and then your Endgame is like, I'm going to cash out at $1 billion and shake hands with Robert Downey Jr.
What an inspiring dude.
That's an American story right there.
Yeah, man. Like, what a guy. Like he's legendary and you know, indelible at this point. Where are we at? What is going on? What is this? What is happening? Givenchy?
So it's one of these like 3D kind of trading card things.
Look at us just stealing content for our show.
Not stealing, we're reviewing
it.
So it's available for fair use regulations.
Oh, and, I like this. It's the I Vivi just like
app is you know, a digital collectibles app.
Is anybody amazed though that they've literally like just monetized everything?
I was surprised to see this come up because until now they've been doing like Marvel. Ghostbusters, you know, what else just was in there? Adventure Time, Powerpuff Girls, Superman, Batman. They have this whole Batman black and white series. Oh, I should bring that up. They're pretty cool.
Well, this is interesting black because like they're white. Literally like they're just expanding the mold, right? They're just like, we're gonna go a little deeper.
See these?
Wow.
They're pretty cool. So you get the digital collectible.
Did you buy any 3D. Batmans?
No, I didn't. I did not. I was tempted because they are cool. This one's a McFarlane.
Oh, let's see that penguin right there. Looks dope.
This one, the crazy one?
No, I was looking at that penguin in the
The penguin's cool. Yeah. Look at that. Yep. But you get them as a 3D thing, and they work with AR, and you could place them in a scene, take photos with them. They'll have more use cases as the app is developed more. That's for sure.
I just can't wait to see the kids that are like living in digital worlds grow up.
So we have about 5 minutes left to go, and you know we can't really delve heavy into this topic, but damn, I thought this was very valid when I ran into this when I was checking out BuzzFeed, and it was Cardi B just calling out how, you know, let me get to the actual tweet. Female rappers have to bust their ass on performances, great visuals, hours on makeup, hours on hair, pressure by the public to look perfect, make great music, and yet most disrespected. Meanwhile, right down here, it says, meanwhile, hope it takes me to the right one. Yeah, while men rappers just walk around in one circle, jump up and down, giving the bare minimum with no criticism at all. And I got to tell you, that is the damn truth. How many fucking lazy hip-hop shows have you been to?
Yeah, that's the only kind of like... ignorant lazy shows.
Come on, man.
Rappers genre.
Are not doing choreography like back in the day. Like, you know, Big Daddy Kane, Scoot Scrap Lover, Heavy D in the Bones.
No,
have you ever seen Kane in concert?
rapping over your tracks with the fucking vocals playing.
You know,
I saw Big Daddy Kane at Tramps. I saw him dance and do the split, and I was like, in the 90s sometime, I was like, oh my God.
MC Hammer put on a show.
It's true.
That's what everyone gives him credit. They're like, you know, whether they thought he was corny or not, they're like,
dance.
Yo.
That fool dance. Like,
he was real.
Don't
he
talk about Hammer.
For a lot of people. And that motherfucker put on a crazy show.
Hammer will come and get you.
Yeah. Can I ask a question, though? Why even make the complaint, lady rappers? Why play the game of corporate rap when you can really just cut your own like corner and make it your own and take a page out of the Missy Elliott book?
Well,
you know?
We need
just
a female
come out sounding like nobody. That. What's that?
We need a female's opinion for that conversation, but we should bring that back. We should do that. I like it.
Do we?
We do. We need the convo. The convo.
Because
you know what?
Right now, people like Cardi. My bad.
Oh, go on, please.
But people like Cardi are just kind of doing the same shit that, like, I don't know. It's kind of no brainer.
Where is it?
Go for sex appeal. You know, going for the raunch, going for shit that's gonna make people look
sell
and buy. Yeah, too easy.
Capitalism. You
know? But dude, I find that like dudes that have no corporate ambitions probably sell the most. If you decide not to play the game and just be original, you'll get more. We get more mileage out of your rap career or your music career for that matter.
Well, you know what? Like you say that, but like, is that real?
Yeah.
Like, look at Nicki Minaj.
Legend.
Had to get her shit updated to really get to that star shit.
Yeah,
had
that's
to lean
a whole
into it.
Nicki,
get the butt implants.
First
yeah.
was on like the Tonight Show or whatever it was.
It's all connected, you know. It's like,
yo,
it's all connected.
Friday night compost, more garbage podcast, Fugzilla, Steve B. Vandal.
Are we on the? That's it. That's all.
That's it. That's all. 10:57.
That's all. Can I ask a quick question, real quick? What you guys think of that new Tyler the Creator?
Zang.
I haven't listened yet.
Gangsta Grill.
But everyone's saying good things.
So good.
I'll say that much.
Very good.
I got to check it out.
Definitely stuff Igor Parks for sure. Except for like last track. Got a little
Summer Anthems.
Peace.